You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Luke 13. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Luke chapter 13. Let's look at another instance. I thought I was through with this series on healing, but I had this stirring in me, and I just thought, I got to go another one. At least, got to go another one. Think about it. We've talked about Bartimaeus. We talked about the woman with the issue of blood. We've talked about the man sick of the palsy. We talked about the centurion's servant, and along with that, the leper that got healed. Well, here's another case of healing. A woman with a spirit of infirmity. I think that's interesting. You know, the Bible never talks about a person has a spirit or a demon of health. The spirit, when it talks about a spirit or depression on someone, it's always a bad thing, not a good thing. Jesus never cast a spirit of health out of somebody. You know, never took somebody walking and made him cripple. He never took somebody that saw and blinded his eyes. You know, he went around opening up blind eyes and healing cripples and helping poor and stopping storms. He didn't start any storms either. He stopped one, but he didn't start any. So you see Jesus, you see God. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord God, I change not. Maybe we got, you know, the prophet saying a few things in the Old Testament. Maybe we have this said and that said, and I believe the whole Bible. But no prophet ever can take the place of Jesus. No prophet's words can ever negate what Jesus says. Jesus is God. He's not just a prophet. No, he's not a prophet like Muhammad. Are you with me? He's not just a teacher like Buddha. It won't be old Buddha sitting on a throne. And it won't be Muhammad calling you home. It won't be Hare Krishna that plays that trumpet tune. That old song. You remember that song? Well, it won't be old Buddha sitting on that throne. You ever remember that song? It won't be Muhammad that's calling us home. Oh, it won't be Hare Krishna playing that trumpet tune. Okay, how's the rest of that go with it? Anyway, it's going to be Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And he's not just a teacher, and he's not just a prophet. He's not just a moral person, a holy man. He is God in the flesh. And when we see Jesus, we see God, we see what he did, we see the will of God. And here's a classic example. Luke 13 chapter, follow with me, you would, in the 10th verse, says, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Man, I love that. Isn't that good? Jesus was churchgoer. Why should I go to church? Well, you won't be like Jesus. gets quiet in here and start talking like it. But y'all are all here. I mean, you ought to be rejoicing and talking about all those other people that are not here. That's what, yeah. Okay. No, we love them. People have excuses. So it says here that he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. This is what Jesus did. Think about it. Let's slow down and take this apart. This was who he was. He was on the Sabbath. You would find him in a synagogue, and you would find him teaching. You know, the church needs teaching. It really does. Now, we need teaching and preaching. Obviously, preaching is more evangelistic. It seems like a little more exciting. People, you know, more salvation comes from that and more evangelistic crusades and so on and so forth. And there's preachers in churches, too, and that's good, too. But there should be teaching, too. We need teaching. Jesus actually taught more than he preached. If you go through the scripture and look at the word preach and the word teach, I think we as a church, if we're uninformed, if we're ignorant of the word, don't know what God says, well, we'll perish. God's own people will perish. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And Jeremiah 3:15 says he'll give them pastors. He said, I'll give them shepherds, and the Hebrew word was shepherds, pastors, after mine own heart, who shall feed them with knowledge and understanding. I like that. So a pastor should be someone that teaches and feeds you with knowledge and understanding, that you walk out and you have a better understanding of God and yourself and the world that you live in, that takes the scriptures and expounds on them and preaches them and teaches them and explains them. And so you walk out wiser than you walked in. Amen? Ready, equipped for the world and what the world is coming against you with. So the church needs teaching. Jesus was a teacher. This is just who he was. He taught and he went to church. The synagogue was the Jewish church of their day. On the Sabbath, he honored God, and he honored God's people and the institution of the church. 11th verse says, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. A spirit of infirmity, I like that. She didn't have a spirit of healing. You know, the connotation is infirmity is bad. That was a spirit of infirmity. But it says, behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. and was bent over and could in no wise raise herself up. My God. I mean, what a pitiful state to be in. I mean, come on. Don't just read across this and just disconnect yourself. These are real people. Jesus come across this woman, and she was in this pitiful state. Couldn't even, you know, imagine the embarrassment and the stares that this woman must have gotten. This was not God's will. God was not working character in her. He was not trying to make her a better person. You know, if that were the case, and everybody with any kind of terminal disease or long-term or chronic disease or pain, they must be really messed up in her character. Hello. And you must be doing just great because you don't have that problem. You out there? See, that's not right. I mean, the idea that someone, I think of Travis, you know, Travis has just gone through so much with a kidney transplant and a pancreas transplant and fought diabetes and so on and so forth. Well, you know, God's trying to work some character in that young man. Hello. That's a sad, sad indictment to put on people. Someone died with cancer. Well, they must have had some hidden sin. No, are you kidding me? God didn't put that on them. We have an enemy, and it's not God. And we are in the world, and the world is a fallen world that we're in. Bad things happen. But God's good. And the idea that God's doing those bad things, no. What's wrong with the world is the sin of Adam. Adam took the world into sin, and it's been in sin ever since. Are you out there? And Jesus said in John 10:10, He said, the thief comes to kill, steal, destroy. I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. Jesus never healed anybody that God made sick. He healed people the devil made sick. I mean, Jesus wasn't fighting God, and God's not schizophrenic. You know, before you pray, check out and see what mood God's in today. Because you never know. You know, He might just make sick. He might just heal. We don't know. We just don't know. How's He doing today? Is He in a pretty good mood, you know? No, God's consistent. He doesn't change. He's Lord God, changed not. But the devil is a thief. And we are in a broken world. And there is sickness and disease, and there is death, and there is tragedy. And I know that. And we face that, and we fight that. Hallelujah. Tooth and nail, we fight it. And rightly so. We do it in the natural. We should do it in the spirit. Yeah. Amen. We go to the doctor to get well. We ought to believe God to get well. We're four doctors. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying go to God instead of the doctor. I think go to God. If you're not getting results, go to the doctor, but continue to believe God. Amen. Don't stop believing God. In fact, pray for the doctor. Pray God give him wisdom. Pray that medicine works. Right. Hallelujah. Healing, we can see here. Jesus healed everybody. I mean, do you know if someone Jesus didn't heal? No. No, not you. I can't heal you because God's doing something in you. Did He ever say that? Well, you know, you need to get the big picture. I know you want me to heal you, but you're not seeing the big picture. God's working out something here with you. Let's just leave this thing alone. And, you know, if you never get healed, that's just the way it is. Just worship God. Well, we're supposed to worship God, but I don't think we ought to be thanking Him for what the devil does. I'm just saying, if you go look through the Scripture, you don't see that kind of thinking in Jesus. Jesus didn't talk that way. And He didn't deny people that wanted to be healed. In fact, some people got healed. He wasn't even looking at them. That woman with the issue of blood came behind Him and grabbed His garment, got healed before He even knew what happened. Wow. And He didn't go to that man sick of the palsy. They took the roof off to get to Him. So it was their bold determination that got to Jesus and got their miracle and healed it. The disciples tried to quiet down Bartimaeus, and he just cried out all the more louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus finally said, "Bring him over here. What do you want?" And he said, "I want my sight." And he said, "Well, according to your faith, so be it to you." And he was healed just like that, and his eyes popped open. Wow. So he walks in on this case. He's in the synagogue. He's teaching. And there was a woman, 11th verse, who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could no way raise herself up. She couldn't walk straight. Just this embarrassment, the stare she must have suffered. No, this was not God's will. No. No, this is not the will of God. But when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said to her, this 12th verse, I'm reading out of New King James Version in case you're wondering. But when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." Woo! Hallelujah, somebody. I think New Living Translation says you're healed of your sickness. Or You know, you were let set free. That word loose is real simple. It means to set someone free that has been oppressed or captivated or in bondage. You set them free. Hallelujah. And when someone's healed, they are set free. And when they're sick, they're bound. Y'all see the biblical terminology. If you're going to talk about sickness and disease biblically, you're never going to be able to call it a blessing. Never. You can't do that. Not in the word, not from the scripture, not from the word, you can't do that. Because God never calls sickness a blessing. Well, this old pain is just a blessing. I know we laugh in our church, but I tell you, a lot of people say that. Well, it's, you know, I'm crippled, but it's been a blessing to me. It's been a blessing to me. No, it hadn't been a blessing. It's been a hindrance to you. It's been a frustrating thing. And, well, you know, I've got to minister to a lot of people. Well, that's good. We can minister to people. We should. We ought to do that. But sickness is not a blessing. Sickness is not from God. And legs weren't made to be crippled. Maybe you went through a bad thing. And I'm not condemning anybody. I've gone through pain too. We're just talking about sickness and disease, what God says about it. He does not call it good. He does not call it a blessing. In fact, when he healed her, he loosed her and set her free. So evidently this infirmity was binding her, oppressing her, which falls in perfect line with Acts 10:38, where it says, we see how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about healing all that were oppressed, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. So who did Jesus heal? Those that were oppressed. Not blessed, but oppressed. Oppressed of the devil, not God, the devil. And Jesus healed them. He loosed them. They were captives he set free. They were bound and he loosed them. Loose them and let them go. That's what Jesus told the men around Lazarus after he raised him from the dead. I always love that story because he said, Lazarus, come forth. You notice he didn't just say, come forth, because all the graves would open up if he said that. But he had to be specific. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Because if he just said, come forth, they would have had a bunch of plowed ground, that's for sure. Just a thought, you know. So, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity, sickness, weakness, disease, infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my. Wouldn't you like to have been there? Wow. 18 years this woman was like this. Just bent over. Head toward the ground. You know, had to turn her head up to even look straight. Hobbling around everywhere she went. Sad, sad. And to say God did that, God didn't do that. God did not do that. That was just sin. You say, her sin? No, don't go there. Sometimes, yes, your sin can get you in trouble. But there's sin in the world. There's the sin of Adam that put the world into sin. The world fell. It's called the fall when Adam sinned. Adam was responsible for all mankind. So when he sinned, the world fell. And everybody fell with him. And everybody fell through him. You know, there are cases, yes, I could say probably my sin brought something on me. Sometimes it's just the sin of the world. I mean, how do you explain babies being born the way they're deformed or with handicaps? Well, that sure wasn't anything they did. Come on. They didn't do anything wrong. Are you kidding me? And every time something happens to you, it doesn't necessarily mean you did something wrong either. So you get that old bony finger out of their face. Stop all that gossiping now when you hear somebody's going through a bad time. Well, I wonder what they did. They probably didn't do a thing. Sometimes it's just random. The devil just hates everybody. Hello? Getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. Now, we're not a Presbyterian church. God bless Presbyterians, but they're usually more quiet, you know. Okay. Everybody's more quiet than us. What am I saying? Okay. So he said, laid his hands on her immediately. She was made straight. Glorified God. I love that. Straightened up, man. That's good. Straight. She's crooked, see? That's not good. She's straight. That's good. Remember when Jesus healed that man with a withered hand? It says it was restored whole like the other. I love that. The withered hand was not good. Not good. In fact, Jesus even with anger looked on the Pharisees because they were watching Jesus. This is Mark the 3rd chapter where that took place. He went into this synagogue on Sabbath just like this. This is what Jesus did. You find him doing this all the time. Jesus wasn't just a churchgoer on the Sabbath. He wasn't just someone who stood up and taught on the Sabbath. He had this habit, this eccentric habit of healing people in the church on the Sabbath. Please, Jesus, can you just do something else besides heal people in church? I mean, it's like today we're going, we don't want to do that in church. Where are you supposed to do it? Where do you think Jesus did most of his healings? In church. Now, he goes on and talks about it later. I mean, this ruler of this synagogue got indignant with Jesus because he did this, of all places, in the church, of all times, on the Sabbath. This is a holy day. This is God's day. This is God's building. This is God's people. We're not supposed to be getting healed. Well, Jesus rocked their boat, didn't he? I mean, that's all he did was heal. He wanted them to know God was a healer. He made a point of healing people in church on the Sabbath. Well, anyway, she gets healed. 18 years. No pain. Hallelujah. No more embarrassment. No more stares. Nothing really significant about this woman at this point. I think it's interesting. You know, when someone gets healed, we think of it as miraculous. We think of it as supernatural, and it is. But then after the fact, when it's done, it's just normal. Isn't it? Because it has the mark of the Creator on it. I mean, God doesn't turn pumpkins into coaches and rats into coachmen. And this is not Cinderella with the silver gold slipper or whatever she had on. I can't even remember what it was. But I know at midnight she better get out of there before midnight. That's all I remember. But this is not that. This is not fairy tale stuff here. When Jesus heals blind eyes, they pop open and they see just like everybody else's eyes see. What these miracles did and what these healings did just restored, like that man's hand was restored whole, like the other. He didn't make it deformed. He didn't have this, all of a sudden, this supernatural. Everybody, look at that hand. Look at that hand. Oh, man, look at that. That's a supernatural healed hand. No, it's just a hand like the other one now. It brought back normality. It brought back wholeness. It brought back restored it. Legs that walk, well, that's what they're supposed to do. Eyes that see, that's what eyes do. I mean, when he touches people, he restores, he makes them whole the way they're supposed to be. They're not supposed to be sick. You are, we are, we do deal with it. And we'll, till Jesus comes, till we get that new body. But thank God when it comes, we do have healing to pray for and believe for. And we can lay our hands on each other. We can pray for one another. We can get healing. Don't you give up. Don't you stop. Don't you throw away the promise. You call out and you get some health and some healing. Amen? See, I think about this. Everyone that the devil touches is bound, and everyone sickness touches is bound and oppressed in some way, form, or fashion. You know, I've dealt with some back issues here, you know, over the last few months, and fought it tooth and nail. Believe I'm healed in Jesus' name, not settling for anything less than healing. But there's no question it's bound me. There's no question it, the infirmity, holds me back. It keeps me from doing things I need to do. It keeps me from being all I should be as a pastor and a minister and a father and a husband. And, you know, I mean, Brenna's having to mow the yard. I'm milking this thing for all I got, okay? But, oh, boy, oh, man. That yard sure needs mowing. Oh. But anyway. But it binds you. Sickness, you know it. If you're sick, you're not well. Come on, there's lots of things you can't do. Isn't that true? And that's the devil's intention, to shut you down. Keep you from being a blessing. Keep you from helping others. It's not all about you. It's about everybody else too. If you're not on top of your game, you're not going to be able to help as many as you can. You know, when Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, yes, the first pope was married. God bless the Catholics. But it says he healed his mother-in-law. She had a fever, and he walked in Peter's mother-in-law. She was laying on a bed. Walked into his house, laid hands, rebuked the fever, and it says immediately she got up and ministered to them. Yeah. Probably cooked some food, you know, set some tables and had them, you know, whatever it was she did. But she wasn't doing that when she had the fever. It's when she got free she was able to minister. So it is a freeing. And when everyone's ever been touched by any kind of sickness or disease knows this. It oppresses us. It binds us. It holds us back. But I tell you what, everyone that Jesus touches gets free. You know, and we need to touch Him. And we need a touch from Him. Because He sets us free. Jesus doesn't bind us. Jesus doesn't touch us and oppress us. Jesus touches us and frees us. In fact, He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. And this woman was loosed, freed from her infirmity. That's what sickness is. It's a binding. That's what healing is. It's a freeing. Ooh, love it. Amen. Good stuff. And so everybody's really excited, especially the pastor of the church. 14th verse. Man, that's good. Well, she glorified God too. That's another, man, that's just awesome. When you think of glorifying God, everybody say glorify God. When she got healed, she glorified God. This is something else you see in the Bible. You don't see people glorifying God for their sickness. You see them glorifying God when they're healed. She didn't glorify God while she was sick. She didn't give God glory for her sickness. After she got healed, she glorified God for her healing. She's glorified God that she's healed. Because healing glorifies God. Sickness doesn't glorify God. See that? The man that was healed, that was lame at the gate, beautiful, in Acts 3rd chapter, Peter and John went to pray, and met a lame man on the way. He stuck out his palms and asked for alms, and this is what Peter did say, "Silver and gold have I none, such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise and walk." And he took him by his right hand and jerked him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaped and he shouted and he praised God, and they all came to Solomon's porch wondering at these things that God had done, glorifying God. Wouldn't they glorify God? When he leaped up on his feet, not when he was laying by the gate all of his life. Healing glorifies God. Not sickness. And you see that. You see people saying, "Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah," when a miracle took place. Not while they were in the pain. And not for the pain, not for the sickness. So there's some insight also there. Okay, so 14th verse. Because the religious crowd Jesus' day, the intelligentsia, the academia, the ones in the know, you know, are always in total agreement with God and always in total agreement with the Word. You know, I've always been of the persuasion that you can be way too smart to get this, but you can't be too dumb. All you got to do is believe. But you can be too smart to get it. We can know too much. We can know more than God. But if you just believe it, are you with me? I love that. Because that includes me. All I have to do is believe. You know, I don't have an education. I got kicked out of high school. Well, I was taking some 11th grade courses, weren't I? Yeah, before they kicked me out. Now, obviously, I studied after that, and, you know, after I got saved, I didn't get a chance to go to Bible school. I started doing missionary work and going to Guatemala and India and places like that and ministering in prisons and open-door missions and Salvation Army, and I just started preaching. Man, I just want to preach. Give me somebody. I want to preach. I'd get a telephone pole saved when I first got saved. I want everybody saved. I want to tell everybody what I knew. You know, and I was just going, I wanted to minister. I wanted to preach to people. And so I went everywhere. I preached. That's how I learned to preach in prisons and you know, Salvation Army. Hallelujah. If you can preach there, you can preach in a church. I can tell you that. It's kind of like Betty when she became state representative. She worked in the children's church here. If she can handle those kids, she can handle those representatives down there, Austin. I think you said that too, didn't you? It's about the same anyway. But I didn't have time. I didn't have... Yeah. Not you, Betty. I'm just talking about you, you know. I'm going to tell you, Betty has done a great job as a representative. For 12 years, she was state representative. And just sponsored and co-sponsored some awesome, awesome bills. Godly legislation. I've always said it's not so much we need godly legislation as we need godly legislators. We need Christian legislators that know the Lord. Then we'll get the legislation. But if you don't have people that know the Lord in office, and you don't know have people that know how to pray and that know Jesus as Lord and that don't have the Bible as their base, how can they make godly decisions? And godly decisions can't do it. And Betty's a perfect example of that. Thank you, Betty, for all you've done over the years. Hallelujah. So the will of God, obviously, healing, not sickness. Here's the the leaders of the church. And this is what's so sad, and it's even true today. So you have to be cautious. Don't follow me because I am the pastor. You should respect the office, but you should follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, don't take my word for it just because I say something. You check out what I say to make sure it's the Scripture. I should lead you in the Word, and I should point you to Jesus. And I should emanate, I should be an example of Jesus in my lifestyle, in the way I live my life, my family, and so on and so forth. That should testify. My greatest success in life is not this church. It's not the missions. It's not the outreaches. It's not the food ministry. It's not the Hallelujah Night. My greatest success is my children are serving God. Stay with me. Hallelujah. Man up. Come on now. My children are serving God. Okay? That's my greatest mission field. And that's my greatest resume, okay? If you want to look at me and look, okay, yeah, I'm anointed, I can preach, teach, all that. I've been faithful here, no question. But if a man can't rule his own household, he can't rule the house of God. And it's sad in a lot of cases, that's not the case. And I know you can't always control all your children, but I am blessed. I am blessed beyond measure. I know I have been successful. I know I've done well. I know I've done the right things. My children are serving God. I know that. I don't need anything else to prove to me that I've made the right choice. Serve God. Hallelujah. Don't need anything else. Don't need a million people to prove that. Don't need $1 million to prove that. That's just my children alone. It's the greatest heritage, you know, or legacy, I mean, I leave. Is a family that serves God. So, hallelujah. Now, too many cases, that's not the case, and that's what was so sad about this situation here. At this ruler of this synagogue, 14th verse, instead of being excited, instead of saying, hey, can you come back next week, instead of telling the whole town what happened in his church, instead of being, you know, let everybody know there's revival going on, praise God, we got a woman healed. Instead of that, he gets upset and mad, wow, because God moved in his church. You know, those churches don't want to move God. That's sad. They say they do, but they really don't. There's churches that today ain't good people. But if Jesus walked in that church and raised somebody out of a wheelchair, they'd run him out fast to make your head. The deacons would be on. The elders would have him out. The ushers would take him out the back door. Yeah, and the person that got healed. And then they come back and get their wheelchair and take it out and throw it out in the parking lot. That's sad, but I'm telling you, that would happen. You say that wouldn't happen, but I'm telling you, that would happen in some churches. Not all of them, but I mean, there's some that way. Wow. Y'all get anything out of this? I don't know how I'm going to wrap this up, but I am real quick in about 2 minutes. The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. Oh, my Lord, on the Sabbath. Can you believe it? Jesus healed on a holy day. Wow, that would associate healing with God. We can't have that. Are you with me? That makes it look like God wants people healed. Jesus healed on the Sabbath. He was indignant. Oh, I can't believe this. You healed this woman. This is the Sabbath? He said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath. See, he didn't give this glory to God. He said, this is the work of man. He didn't even say God healed the woman. There are 6 days in which men ought to work. Go out there and get your healing. Instead of in here on the Sabbath in the synagogue. Don't be coming to God to get healed. You go get your healing in the world. Whoa. Isn't that what he's saying? 6 days men ought to work. Go out there and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. This gets out. People start hearing about this. They're going to think God heals. Well, that'd be terrible, wouldn't it? The Lord then answered to him real sweetly, you hypocrite. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound? Who bound her? Satan hath bound. Think of it, for 18 years, ought not this woman be loosed from this bond? There it is again, everybody say bond. Ought not she be loosed on the Sabbath? You treat your dogs better than you do your people. That's what he was saying. Wow. Don't you feed your dogs on Saturday? They were big on not working on the Sabbath, you know. And he was saying, don't you feed your animals? Don't you give them water? People need to be healed like dogs need to be watered. I'm telling you, it's like water to a thirsty soul. It's like food to someone hungry. It is a need. Food is a need the body has, and water is a need the body has, and healing also is a need that the body has. And far from, you know, strange that we do it on a Sabbath, Jesus is saying we ought to be doing this every Sabbath. We ought to be doing this in church. We ought to be giving God glory. We ought to be believing God for miracles. We ought to be believing Him for healing. We ought to be believing Him, trusting Him. Hallelujah. Well, it closes out and says this, 17th verse. And when He said these things, all His adversaries were put to shame. Well, how could you argue with that? Come on. And all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by Him. Boy, this is what they gloried in. The healing, the miracle, the freedom that came from healing. She was set free. This woman no longer had to bend over. This woman for 18 years of the shame and the stares and the oppression was gone. She was healed by the power of God. What a wonderful thing. That's something you ought to advertise in church instead of try to keep out of the church. Well, Jesus is a healing Jesus, amen? And He'll heal you too. You say, well, I don't want to interrupt Him. No, this is what He does. You would go to Him learn, wouldn't you? Because He's a teacher, that's what He does. Well, go to Him, get healed. He's a healer, that's what He does. You'd ask Him for direction because He gives wisdom. That's what He does, right? Well, ask Him for healing. He's a healer. That's what He does. That's who He is. We see Him doing that all through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Teaching, leading, guiding, directing, forgiving, and healing. That's good stuff.